What up, guys? Nick here. What's going on with you guys? Hope you guys are having a good Friday. What's going on? As we start today's show, we're going to start the way we always do. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, we're going to do, this is now the third in the series, on the adulting series, as you can see. If you have not checked out this adulting series, make sure that you go do that, because it's definitely some good things that I reviewed in the past couple weeks here. So the concept of the adulting series is just some financial concepts that I've discovered over the years, that if I had known when I was like 17, 18, getting into my adulthood, that I would have made better decisions in life. And I figured, you know, I'm not the only one that feels like that today. You know, some 20, 25 years later, you know, this is something that most people feel like, you know, if they had made better decisions, you know, if they were better informed to make certain decisions, they would have done so. So, forgive me, guys. We had some technical difficulties, so I wanted to make sure and get everything straightened out. So, you know, I know it's a bit late, but I'm trying to keep this as curtailed as possible. But I still want to bring some good value to you guys. So make sure that you take some good notes. Make sure that you get something good from this, because it's going to be a good one. In this video, we're going to talk about life insurance. We're going to talk about income protection. Now, before I jump into that, I have to tell you that this disclaimer is me saying this is for entertainment and education purposes only. Even though I am a licensed life insurance agent in the state of Virginia, in the state of New Mexico, in the state of Florida, I still want you guys to understand this is something that you have to do your research on. This is to educate. This is to enforce that it's knowledge, so take with it what you will. But insist that doing this is doing your own research. So we'll just, again, this is for entertainment purposes only, educational purposes only. So let's jump in. So we're going to deal with life insurance. We're going to go over some facts and we're going to go over some myths, because there's definitely some myths surrounding life insurance. There's going to be some misconceptions surrounding the concept. You know, there's going to be some misunderstandings, because we all had perceptions of life insurance and what life insurance is, what life insurance is for, what life insurance should be for, and what life insurance really consists of. So this is a special topic to my heart, because I'm very passionate about life insurance. I'm very passionate about what it's used for. I'm very passionate about what the ins and outs of it is, because it's something that protects families, and that's what this is as a concept, as a financial concept. Life insurance, if you break it down by simple brass tacks, it's just to protect your income. It has a funny name, as income protection, and that's exactly what it does. And the thing about it is, people think it's a big payday. That's one big myth that, you know, that it, people think that it's for, it's just about the big payday. You know, your loved one or whoever passes away, somebody gets a lump sum, it's a big payday, it's all about the money. Actually, it's a stretch from the truth to think of it that way. Yes, the fact is, life insurance does provide financial compensation. It does provide financial sustenance. However, it's just that, it's sustenance. It's not meant for you to get rich overnight and things like that. That's a big misconception. What it should be for is to help pay for expenses. Now, so if you understand it like this, first, diving into what it is, life insurance at its heart, supposed to replace the money, the income that the individual made. So individual A, they make about maybe $30,000-$40,000 a year. You know, they're bringing in money to their household, they're bringing in income into their household, into their finances. You know, nobody can kid themselves to say that we're going to be around forever, and it's something that we don't like to think about, fact of life. So we have to prepare for situations that we don't expect because we don't know when. And this is a part of it, is planning to make sure that your family is taken care of as far as the income that's coming in. Because the reality is, you know, whether you get a new job or you move to a new city or you move to a new country, your family is going to need your income, because they've been relying on your income for however long, and that's not about to change. So whether you get a promotion or you move somewhere, your family is still going to be reliant on your income. And that's exactly what life insurance is for. It protects your family financially in the event that you eventually pass away. So that's at its heart what life insurance is. So it's supposed to make sure and protect your family against loss. So loss of you, like unlike home insurance, unlike car insurance, you know, homeowner's insurance replaces your house, car insurance replaces your car. If you get into an accident, it'll replace your car like new, replace your house like new, if not brand new. But with life insurance, they don't give, these companies don't give your family another you, but it does give them the opportunity, and does give you the opportunity to give your family the continued income. So another big myth is that it's all given in lump sum. It's all given right away whenever, you know, whenever the person passes away, God forbid, you know, it's all given like that and it can't be done any other way. That's a big myth. The fact is, it can be done that way, but most of the times, responsible financial experts will say that it's supposed to be dispensed. And when I say dispensed, I mean that, you know, you have things come up, you don't just get a lump sum, you should get enough to last you for however long. So let's say most of the times the arrangement is there is that benefit that you can get that all at once, but it's more responsible to get it, let's say, on a monthly basis, so you get a certain amount every month. So you're supposed to sit down with a financial representative, a financial professional, to help guide the survivors, guide you as a survivor on how to properly allocate those funds, how to properly spend that money so it lasts as long as possible. And your money in retirement, in that kind of aspect where you have a life insurance policy and it does come and the individual does pass away, and as survivors you get that, it's the best idea, that even financial experts will tell you that it's the best idea to not just have that sit there and be dispensed and you get the money every month or every 3 months or whatever it is, but you have some that you put in something that is a longer term, so that the money continues to grow, that it continues to last as long as humanly possible. So a couple of the nuts and bolts here, like for one, a couple of the types of life insurance, like you see, if you look around into most of the big household names, I'm not gonna mention any names because I'm not gonna put anybody out there, but there's a lot of different types of life insurance. There's a universal life, variable life, whole life, term, you know, all these different faces of life insurance. But at the very center, at the very makeup of life insurance, it's simply this. Like I mentioned before, it's supposed to be purely protection against loss of the individual who is insured, and giving the survivors the income that they would have made when they were alive. So what it should be, or I should say what it shouldn't be something that has savings into it. And the truth is, and I'm gonna tell the truth is most companies out there, most household names out there will recommend, okay, so you get whole life, which consists of not just the income protection or the death benefit, which is the financial part of what your family gets, but a savings portion. So how they market it is you'll get two aspects of it, where it's like, okay, so you have the death benefit, but you get to save money at the same time. So they market it as you get to kill two birds with one stone, but in reality, there's something that they don't tell you. the truth about it is that the reason why that's in my opinion a bad decision is because nobody should be partnering up life insurance with savings. You're supposed to keep that separately. And I believe in doing those separately because it works out better because you have two things in two different buckets. So you have money that you're saving on a long-term basis. So we talked about things like an emergency fund. We talked about things like short-term savings and things like that. The emergency fund obviously is 3 months of your expenses, but then you have a longer-term savings. So that should be separate from your life insurance aspect, from the death benefit. So you plan that separately, and that way you have a better handle on, you know what you're gonna get. But putting that together, when most of these big name companies do that, they do that because the people marketing this to you will make more money. It's more profitable for them to sell these policies that have both the savings and the life insurance, the death benefit in the policy. So that's whole life. So you'll have whole life insurance, which has both elements in it, both the savings and the life insurance part of it in there. So secondly, the second thing about that is the truth. The fact is that for the first 3 years that you have a whole life or a permanent policy, that allegedly the first 3 years the money that you wouldn't be paying, so let's say you're paying $100 towards your policy, so you're paying $100 for a permanent policy, whole life policy, whatever it is. Let's say in this example 50 goes to your death benefit, so 50 goes towards your life insurance and paying for your life insurance, but then you have the other 50 going towards your savings. Two birds, one stone, right? So what they don't tell you is for the first 36 months that money that you would have been saving, that $50 a month for 36 months, that goes to pay the agent that sold you that policy. That's what most people won't tell you. But that's a fact, that for the first 3 years, you might as well have put that $50 in a pillowcase and put it under your bed. I mean, I'm not saying for you to go out and do that, but that's literally what happens. So people can disagree with me. I know people are gonna blow me up in the comments talking about this, that, and the third, but you could take it as whatever you want to, right? I've seen it happen. I've seen real families get affected like this. I've seen real paper, you know what I'm saying, really put to paper where that stuff happened to families. So that's one thing. And for the second thing, what they don't tell you is that savings portion, so let's say 10 years, you have, let's say, $5,000 in this example, right? So you have $5,000 saved in the savings portion. That savings portion is now a part of whatever company that sold it to you. That's now a part of their assets. So that $5,000 is not truly your money, even though it's your money paying for it. It's not truly your money. It's money that they now consider part of their assets. So let's just say the company gets into financial trouble. They, you know, judge orders a freeze on their assets. Guess whose $5,000 is mixed up in there? Yours. So that's one thing. That's another thing that they don't tell you. So that $5,000, again, you would have been better off putting that in a pillowcase or doing that something that you know that when you put it down, you're gonna get that money back. So another myth is that, okay, so it's going to be this grand old thing that you could just withdraw the money. So they tell you, these big companies tell you that, hey, you get to do the kill two birds with one stone. You get to save all this money and you get to have life insurance. And then you could borrow against it. The common thing is, if you got to do repairs on the house, you can get a small loan or whatever it is, and against the money. But think about that for a second. Think about that. Really think about that. You can get a loan on your money. The last time I checked, because you were taking hard-earned money and you're putting it into something, that's money you earned. So you're taking your money and you got to borrow your own money. I don't know about most of people watching this or listening to this. I got a problem with that because I shouldn't have to borrow my own money. It's my money, right? So that's another myth that they don't reveal to you, right? So the things about these here and why we're going through some of these myths is so that you ask questions. Because if you don't know, you can't show. If you don't know what the truth is, let's put it realistically. If you're walking and you can't see a table in front of you because of whatever reason, you're going to trip over it if it's in your way. But if you know and you see it and you can do something about it, you're going to get out of the way of that table. So this is why we go through a lot of these concepts, because it's a good idea to learn, to get the knowledge so you know how to move, how to make an informed decision. And that's another thing. When you sit down with a lot of these big name companies, we're blown away by the glitz and glam and things like that of this big name company, and they know what they've been around for 5,000 years, and you know, we just let stuff slide because they know what they're talking about, right? That's every company that we do that, whether good, whether they're doing the best they can or they're doing the bare minimum. We do that all the time. You hear a company's been around for 200-300 years, they must know what they're doing. Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't absolve you from doing your own homework. So another thing about life insurance is that we went over the types. There's whole life and there's term. There's really only two main types of life insurance. We went over whole life, and now we're going to go over term insurance. Term insurance is pure protecting your income against loss, the eventuality that you will pass away. That's the thing about term insurance, is that it doesn't have anything else involved in it. It's just protection. So the reason why term is cheaper most times, it's not cheaper in every sense, but most times term insurance is cheaper. So there's a running you know, adage out there, you buy term and you invest the difference. Because it's cheaper most of the times, you'll be able to get that pure protection that you just protect your income, and then you take the money that you would be saving. Most times you get into a financial situation, when you discuss a financial situation with somebody, you know, you find out that if they do have insurance, it's more often than likely that they're paying more for what they have or what they should be paying. So the money that you do save with getting term insurance versus a whole life or permanent policy, you could then take and save it separately. Now again, you know, I'm not investment licensed, so I'm not at liberty to go into detail as far as that, but I can, you know, organize something where I have a licensed person come on here and come on the show and talk in detail about that. But you know, if you want to set up something a little more personal, I can definitely sit down one-on-one and have that person discuss different options with you, as well as we're talking about today, you know, to sit down and talk about life insurance and things like that, because I believe that it's better to know the numbers for you. And I can sit here and talk all day about the concepts, about how this works, how that works, how the ins and outs, the nuts and bolts and things like that. But then it makes it real for you when we talk about your numbers, when we talk about your budget, when we talk about your emergency fund, when we talk about your retirement, when we talk about your numbers. And the thing that I'm impressing is that it's better to know how this affects you in the reality sense, so you know exactly what to do, exactly how to move, exactly how to treat things. So one of the things that I tell people all the time is life insurance is just as important, if not more important, than things like your electric bill. Yes, you need to have power on, we need to have food, we need to have basic necessities, yes, but if you think about this financially, what do you do with your money? You pay bills with your money. Regardless of how much you make, how often you make it, you still use that money to pay bills. So if you don't protect your money, this is like having a spare tire. right? I did a video a couple, like maybe 2 years ago, called The Financial Spare Tire. This is what I was talking about, right? So if you haven't seen that, go check it out after this video. Go check it out after this. You go check that out. But it's literally a way for you to protect against something eventually happens. You're not going out there driving your car, driving through glass and driving through nails and all that stuff. You're not literally trying to get that stuff, you know, happen to you, but you have a spare tire in case, right? So it's the same attitude that we have to have about our finances, that we have to prepare for the proverbial worst. You hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. So having life insurance in place, it's a foundation. So if you think about it, your foundation is here, and then you build up. So you protect the money that you make, that's your foundation. So you have the income protected, and then you can build on it. You can build your emergency fund. You can build your long-term savings. You could save for, let's say, a family vacation or a wedding or something, or a trip or something. And then you have other goals and dreams at the top, and then you have that, you know, built the right way. So the one of the main things I want to go over here is how this is structured. So basically, what financial experts recommend is that you have 10 times your annual income in to be properly protected. So some people do more, some people do less, but it's a responsible thing, according to financial experts, that you do up to 10 times what your annual income is, at your income times 12 months. So let's say you make $30,000 a year, 10 times 30,000 equals 300,000. So a good idea is getting to that 10 times mark. So you get 300,000, you should be reasonably protected, you know. And again, this is where the specific numbers matter, because you'll figure out when you sit down with a financial professional and you do a budget every single month, you'll know where your money's coming in and where your money's going every single month. So that way you know how much you're responsible for, how much your liabilities are, so you know how much you have to protect. So let's, in this example, it's $300,000. So, you know, you get somebody that's responsible, that you feel comfortable with, that you know, that they know, you've done the research, you know that they know what they're doing, obviously, and that you get the quote that's right for you. You get the policy that's right for you. And again, not everybody is a licensed financial professional. Not everybody is certified. And we understand that it can be quite confusing sometimes to go through the legal jargon and things like that, and the industry terms and things like that. But guys, ask questions. I'm 38 years old, and I still use this adage that I learned from Sesame Street as a 5-year-old. Asking questions is a good way to find stuff out. So that, to me, when I've sat down with people before, I tell people, ask me questions. It doesn't matter what arena I'm stepping into, I want to make sure that you ask me as many questions. Because here's the thing, when I talk, it's me saying it, right? But when you talk and you hear yourself ask these questions and you get the answers you need, that's when it becomes fact. That's when it becomes real. That's when it becomes something that you understand. Because it's not just me talking for 30 minutes or 40 minutes or however long we're on, you know, we're sitting next to each other or sitting across from each other or in a Zoom call, whatever it is. It's not just me talking. It's you asking questions, you finding out what questions you have, and you ask until you have a reasonable amount of knowledge in order to make an informed decision. And that's the thing, is whether you decide today or you decide 2-3 days from now that you're going to make a decision, you want to get to the point where you can make an informed decision. So that's why you ask questions. That's why you ask as many questions and write them down. Let's say I'm talking like I'm talking right now. I get to the end of whatever I'm talking about and explain to you what I'm talking about. If you have questions or you can't think of questions while we're sitting down, write them down. And you do that with anybody, not just me. You do that with anybody. You write down what questions you have, and maybe a day or so after you think of something else, write it down. So the next time you sit down with that person, you sit down with that professional, you can say, hey, I wasn't sure about this. What about this? Can we ask about that? Can we talk about that? What about this? Right? Don't be afraid, because this is your life. These are your finances. If nobody checks for this, it's going to be you, right? There's nobody that's going to run after you and say, hey, you need to get this done. You need to get, we're all adults here. Right? And these decisions, pardon the pun, but we're adults here. We have a responsibility to protect our families. We have a responsibility to protect our livelihoods. We have a responsibility to do the work that comes with it. So when you ask these questions, it's a part of the process. So when you're asking questions about a complicated situation, let the person know, hey, I don't understand. Can you say this over? Can you explain that over to me? There's no shame in that, right? When you find out a new piece of information, obviously you're going to have things that you're not sure about. And this is no different, because we're talking about a concept that's been around as old as time. But the simple way to put this is that it's there to help you. It should be there. And you know, I'm not bashing all the companies out there, all the big name companies out there, because trust me, when we look for something to do, when we look to somebody to get our car fixed or get our car washed or get our house fixed, we want to go with somebody with some longevity. We want to go with somebody that knows what they're doing and things like that. I'm not saying all big companies are bad. What I am saying is that you need to make sure that the person that you're doing business with and going into business with has not only their best interest at heart, but your best interest at heart, because of the fact that you are the one that has to walk away from that table making and living with that decision. And I, like my wife tells me all the time, everybody doesn't think like you do. Everybody doesn't have the same work ethic and the same passion as you do, right? But you find somebody that is willing to work with you, that's willing to come shoulder to shoulder with you to make sure and ask these or answer these hard questions, to go over these concepts with you. And this is why I do Freedom Fridays. This is why I shoot this every week. This is why I continue to labor, because it's a labor of love, because I believe that life should be about more than just paying bills, right? But it doesn't mean that the bills don't have to get paid, right? It doesn't mean that responsibilities we leave responsibility to the wayside. But there is a proper way to do this, that we get things done the way we need to, but we get things done the way that we have to. Because another thing about this concept is affordability. Well, Nick, I'm not sure if I can afford life insurance. I'm not sure if it can fit into my budget, but that's just it. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to sit with a financial representative that's licensed, that's trained, that's going to sit with you. And the first thing that you need to do, whether you do this or not, the very first thing you can do for your finances is get pen and paper or your Excel spreadsheet and do a detailed budget, and do one every month. So you know every month where your money is coming from, where it's going, and what it's going to. And I guarantee you, you're going to find extra money in your budget. I could sit down with 10 different people, and 8 out of 10 of them, I will find extra money, right? 8 out of 10 of them, I will find money just laying around. And think about it. We like what we like. I like Chipotle. I like coffee. I like movies. I like a whole host of different things. Do I need to be spending an extra $100, $50, whatever, $75 on certain things every single month? Maybe not, right? I have to decide that for my finances, and it's the same for your finances. And I guarantee you, you can find a way to use the money that you're already spending to get you further financially. Because that's what it's about. It's not just getting by. I honestly detest the term when people say, hey man, how you doing? Man, I'm just getting by. I'm not interested in that. Not to say that I don't care about people, not to say I don't care about their circumstance, but I'm interested in people thriving, people succeeding, people moving forward, people being built up, people getting to the next level. That's what I'm about. If I could help just one person get to the next level, get not just that motivation, because I talk a lot on this show about motivation. I talk a lot on this show about, you know, having the right mindset, having the right thing in your mind, between your ears, so you can get to the next level. But if we don't get the fundamentals, the tools down, if we don't get the practical down, you can have all the mindset in the world. You can have all the motivational tapes, the motivational videos, but if you don't have the means to do something, you won't be able to do it. And that's point blank and personal. So this adulting series is about making sure that not just kids, not just teenagers, 17, 18-year-olds and stuff like that, not just those, you know, category of people, but even adults, because I realized from my own that there were certain things that I had no idea about. Like, my next thing that I'm believing God for is getting a house, right? There's certain things I don't know about getting a house, right? But there's certain things I have learned about how you go about getting a house, the right things to do, the right people to see, the right procedures to follow in getting a house. And you got to start from square one, right? My father used to say, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with step one. And you have to have somebody across from you that's willing to take you from step one. Because there are companies out there that only deal with wealthy clients. There's companies out there that only, if you make less than $50,000 a year, you make less than $100,000 a year, they don't think you are worth their time. And I think that's a crying shame, because the top 1% shouldn't just be the top 1%. Everybody should have a path from where they are to where they want to be. And again, it's about being where you want to be. Because, like, one thing I love is that I have certain expectations of my life and my finances and things like that. And people might call that being rich, but I call that doing me, right? I know what my financial independence number is. I know exactly what it is. And I know how much I have in order to take care of my responsibilities. And I also know how much I need to have in addition to that to do the things I want and I need to do, which includes giving back, which includes doing things like I'm doing right now. Because like I keep saying to people, salvation is free, but ministry costs. And this right now is ministry. This is God's perspective on money and finance. This is what Freedom Fridays is about. So doing stuff like this is stuff that means a lot to me, right? Because it's about reaching people. And honestly, helping people get to a better place financially frees you up. When you don't have to worry about where the next paycheck is going to come from, when you don't have to worry about if something happens to you today or tomorrow, will my family be financially taken care of, or will they have to struggle? Listen to me, man. It breaks my heart every single day to get online and go see stories about people having to raise money on GoFundMe to do crowdfunding because they didn't have enough life insurance, that they didn't have enough money put aside in their savings to take care of the funeral expenses for their loved ones. Think about that for a second. You just lost one of the most important people in your life. And on top of that, on top of not knowing the financial principles that you need to know, on top of not being an expert, on top of the sinking feeling that you're going to wake up tomorrow and what person was there, just to be able to hear that laugh again, just to be able to hear that voice again, and you're not going to be able to hear that, but then have to drag yourself up to go to GoFundMe to get enough money to lay your loved one to rest. That, to me, is a crime. For to not be able to have that and not be able to have people that has the gumption and the gall to go side by side with normal people, regular people, the average Joe, the average Jane, to help them get to the next level, to where at the very least, when the time comes, they don't have to be concerned about how to pay the mortgage next month, how we're gonna pay the lights next month, so that my kids can live in the house that they grew up in, that they can continue to exist in the same place that I was in before this happened, right? And you lose the loved one that you love so dearly, and that you have to make this decision now. It literally breaks my heart, but it literally gives me joy to see and to know that I had something to do with making sure that a family is properly protected, debt-free, and financially independent. That's why I do what it is I do. That's why I will continue to be unapologetically fervent and passionate about making sure that people get to financial independence, that people can not only get themselves there, but to teach people, to teach others how to get there. With that said, guys, thank you so much for allowing me into your homes this Friday. Thank you so much for all the love and support. Everybody that stopped through and commented and liked and all that stuff, thank you so much for your support. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit like, share, and subscribe, and pass this on to somebody that you know may need it. All right? If you're on the podcast, on the Freedom Friday podcast, Freedom Fridays is now on Spotify. So if you haven't checked out the podcast yet, make sure you go on there and favorite the podcast. You can also listen to it on Anchor. So make sure you download the app. Make sure you take the opportunity and get the knowledge, get the resources, and get ahead, people. All right? And until next time, guys, live life, love God. See you when I see you. Peace.